Howdy, folks. This is the Words of Truth from the Scriptures podcast. I'm Brian Yeager. I'm delighted that you've tuned in to listen. Hopefully, you'll find this lesson helpful. Before we jump into the Scriptures and start talking, I want to make something abundantly clear. We're going to be talking about a question today. Are you ashamed? Well, sometimes a person listens to a lesson from the Scriptures and they get almost immediately defensive. Maybe even from the title, maybe somebody will say, oh, you're going to tell me I should be out there talking about the Scriptures. I should be out there talking about Jesus, but you just don't understand. I can't do this, or I can't do that, or, well, this doesn't apply to me. This lesson is not intended to be an indictment on anybody listening. It is a lesson towards Christians, towards people of the faith in Christ Jesus. It is a presentation to make us think about things. And it's in the form of a question. You see, it's a question that is not an implied charge that anybody listening is wrong. It's one intended for self-examination. You know, when the children of Israel came out of bondage in Babylon, they were instructed to rebuild Jerusalem. The temple, the walls round about, etc. You can read about that in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. One of the prophets during that time was the prophet Haggai. And Haggai asked in Haggai 1 verse 5 and verse 7, "Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Twice there, separated by one statement, is consider your ways. This is that type of lesson. There are times that I have seen where people who profess to be Christians don't ever talk about Christ. They don't ever talk about the gospel, even when it's appropriate or an open time to do so. And these aren't people that have a problem talking about some things. For example, this individual, maybe it's you, maybe it's not. This is something for you to consider, right? This individual hires a contractor to do repair on their home, or goes to an automotive shop or something else, and they do a Google review. They like it on Facebook. They tell their friends about this contractor or this automotive shop because they just got great service and they're just excited about it. Or maybe somebody has seen a good movie. And at work, coworkers, so what'd you do over the weekend, or what'd you do on your day off? Oh, I went to see this great movie. Boy, it was great, this, dot, dot, dot. Or, hey, I binge-watched this show on Netflix or on Hulu, and man, I really recommend it to you. Maybe it's somebody who professes to be a Christian, never or rarely talks about the gospel, but their child is in some kind of a program, education or otherwise, and there's a fundraiser. And this person has no problem being out there raising money, selling cookies or whatever it is, candy bars or whatever the case may be. But they don't ever talk about Jesus. The question is, why? Now, there are just reasons why we may not talk to people about the gospel, why we may not talk about people about Jesus. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 6, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet, turn again and rend you." Maybe the people you're around, you know, they're not going to hear the gospel. They're just going to attack you for teaching it. Now listen, there's a difference between knowing that to be the case and assuming that to be the case. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. Then there's other reasons, like 2 Timothy 2:14, where the evangelist, a man who's supposed to proclaim the gospel, is told by the Apostle Paul, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." Or in 2 Timothy 2:23, same chapter, verse 23, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strife." So I am not at all trying to get this podcast out there and tell anybody, you need to be talking to everybody about Jesus. The Scriptures tell us we can't talk to everybody about Jesus. So there's that, right? But then there's other excuses. Well, I just don't have a good memory. And, you know, if somebody asks me a question, I'm not going to be able to answer it. Well, let me come back to an earlier illustration. A great automotive shop, a great contractor. They did work that you cannot do, but you have no problem talking to others about them. I'm not saying you need to go out and preach the gospel. You know, I know that there are preachers out there that push Matthew 28:19, go ye means go me, Mark 16:15-16. You read the context there. Those are instructions from Jesus to the apostles. There are no apostles today. I'm not the preacher that's getting on here trying to tell you you need to go out and preach the gospel to everybody. If you've listened to previous podcasts, we've talked about that in various different contexts. But if you can tell somebody, a contractor, an automotive shop, if you can Google review something, if you can do an Amazon review, if you can do a Best Buy, Walmart review, or whatever, why can't you share things like this podcast? If you're a member of a faithful congregation, the website, where you assemble, the name of an evangelist that's faithful, and his contact information. If you're listening to this podcast, I grant you permission. You may share my information, and you may tell anybody that wants to hear about the gospel, no matter where they live, what continent, what city, doesn't matter to me, that I will talk to them about the gospel. If you've listened to this podcast before, you know I give out my phone number, as I will at the end, and my email address. I am as public as I can make myself an availability. I go around El Paso. I'm going to be doing that here pretty soon, and hang door flyers and my phone number on them, asking people to have home Bible studies with me. Please share my information. Share this podcast. Do what you can to get the gospel out there. That doesn't require you to know anything. It doesn't require you to be able to think fast on your feet. It doesn't require you to discern who to give that which is holy to, even, right? You're just sharing information like a contractor, an automotive shop, a restaurant, or whatever it is. So having prefaced all of this information, right? I don't want to get an email from you saying, brother, I listened to your podcast on Are You Ashamed? Or Brian, I listened to your podcast on Are You Ashamed? But you don't understand, I have this problem, dot, 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 dot. I am talking in generality here. I'm not making a charge. I'm asking you to examine yourself. Whether or not you have excuses or reasons for you to determine, and the Lord will judge. Now I want to talk about the scriptures more at length, more to make you think, to give you other things to weigh in your mind. What's the most valuable information somebody needs to know for salvation? Acts 20:32, Paul's in Ephesus talking to brethren there. Says, now, brethren, I commend you to God, the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. James wrote in James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted or the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. If you are a Christian, you have the most valuable information on earth. Think about that. And you know the most important person who's ever walked on this earth. And John 5:39, speaking to the Jews, Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and there they which testify of me. Paul to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God hath not appointed unto us wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures reveal the person from whom we obtain salvation. That's Christ Jesus. Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15-17 says, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The scriptures give you the information to salvation. They equip you fully to do every good work. In fact, this is one of the simplest points to make. All those churches out there that are wrong and doing the wrong things, they've invented works. They've invented works of the church. 2 Timothy 3:15-17, not only being about salvation, but equipping the children of God to do good works. Here's a simple question. To those churches, to those leaders of those congregations, to the members who are contributing to and having fellowship with those works, where in the scriptures do you read about them? The scriptures are the instruction manual on how to be saved and continue in that state of and towards salvation. Beautiful. We've got a powerful book. Why don't you share it? Again, I'm not trying to answer any objections you're going to raise. I know there are plenty out there, and some of them are scriptural and some of them are not. This is for you to weigh, not for me to weigh for you. I can't do that. Can't do that for anybody. Over the years, I've had people tell me, you just don't know how afraid I get. You don't understand. You're not afraid to speak in front of people. You're not afraid, but I just get shaky and everything else. Okay. But every one of those people that have ever used that to me, to my face, in conversation that I have known personally, I've had to point out to them that they have no problem talking about other things. If you know it, you're not ashamed of it, you'll talk about it. Even on the most elementary level, just, hey, I found a great roofer. Just that. Could be easily translated into, the Bible is a wonderful book. And man, I know somebody that is very capable of teaching it. You should talk to them. That doesn't require you to rebut anything. Now think about that aspect. If you could pass it off, again, I volunteer myself. When people call me, unless I'm in the middle of something, and even if I am in the middle of many things, I still answer the phone. There's rare times that I won't answer the phone. And if not, I'll call back pretty quickly. I will answer those questions, emails, in person, if they're anywhere near El Paso, Texas. I want you to consider how important it is for people's salvation that there be a capable messenger, that you could point them in that direction if you're not that person yourself. In Romans 10, 14 through 17, how then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Even if you're not capable, can you point to somebody who is? When Paul was facing persecution, imprisonments, and different things, he sent other people. Like in 2 Timothy 4:2, Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Even a capable apostle moved by the Holy Ghost sometimes had to defer to somebody else to do the work. You can do that. But you got to remember how important it is for someone to hear the truth, to be taught correctly by faithful men. All of those things together, think about these scriptures pointing out those points. Jesus in Luke 11, 28, when a woman wanted to compliment his mother, his response was, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Paul to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 2:17, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as sincerity as of God in the sight of God speak we Christ. Yet corrupt speakers who will teach the word of God and teach people to keep it. I know there are a lot of men out there that proclaim to be teachers. I get emails from some guy in California pretty regularly where he wants me to promote his YouTube channel. And it took me about 30 seconds. I don't know anything else about him. I can't even remember his name. Oh, I would have no problem mentioning it. But he's selling all kinds of his books. I'm never going to promote that YouTube channel. I don't even need to know what he teaches. If you point people in my direction, it's never going to cost them anything. I'm never going to ask them for money. I have nothing to sell. My website, everything on there is free to download. Anybody can use it. This podcast is free. If you ever hear a commercial related to this podcast, it's the service that's doing it. Wherever they put that commercial in there, I have, and I make no money from this at all and will not now or in the near or distant future make money off of it. It's important not just to find men who will preach the truth, but men who will be sincere and will not corrupt it. Men and whom know the power of the word of God. To the Thessalonians, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believed. To Timothy,
2 Timothy 2:2, the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same thou commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And to another evangelist, Titus, but hath in these due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. You cannot just tell somebody, here's a Bible, read it. I want you to think how people generally approach books. They start at the beginning, right? And if you hand somebody with no Bible knowledge at all a Bible, start at the beginning. Even if they start at the beginning of the New Testament, they're reading through the book of Matthew. They're going to be confused because they don't understand that a lot of the times, most of the time, 99% of the time, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is teaching Jews, not Gentiles. So right there, the audience is different than anybody today. And the law of Moses was until John, Luke 16:16, but it was still in effect. So Jesus is teaching during Old Testament times. They're going to walk away and they're going to think that they need to do alms. They're going to think that they need to keep the Passover. Different things that just aren't accurate because they're beginning at the beginning. And if they begin at the book of Genesis, you know, by the time they get into the book of Leviticus, if they get that far, they're going to be perplexed. They're going to be like the Ethiopian eunuch. How can I understand except some man teach me? Acts 8:26-39. They're going to need help. If you can't be that person, know where to point them. Know where to point them. Paul made a statement, and I would imagine anybody professing to be a Christian is familiar with at least part of this statement. And to the church in Rome, he said in Romans 1:16-17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that it is written, the just shall live by faith." My question for you to examine, and it is just that question for you to examine, are you ashamed of the gospel? I want you to think about it. Are you as confident to recommend Jesus Christ and his saving words as you are a great restaurant, movie, television show, contractor, other book, etc.? You know, it's really not hard. If someone says, "What'd you do this weekend?" you could say, "You know, I listened to a great podcast." Not hard to say, "I worshiped with my brothers and sisters in Christ. It was a great day. I was edified by the word of God." You don't know where that's going to turn into. Let me give you an example without even trying anything. Just the other day, I had a roofer come by and give me an estimate on my roof. And I told him some things, and we were talking, and told him that I was quite stressed out. We've had problems with our roof as long as we've owned our house. Well, almost as long as we've owned our house, but after the first year, have had many leaks, many roof repairs, many dollars put into roof repairs. And let me fast forward in this discussion a little bit because it's not relevant to the, but to this point. As we were talking, he of course had by that time figured out I was a gospel preacher. He thought he would make a point to me, and he says, "Well, don't worry about it. Let us take care of the work, you know. Think about it. God gives wisdom like he did to Solomon." And I smiled for a moment because, you know, now you've stepped into my arena, so to speak. Now you've stepped into what I love to talk about. And I asked him, I said, "Well, what do you think? What are you trying to tell me about that?" And he tried to make a point about it. And I said, "Did you know?" And based on how he was talking about Solomon, I was pretty confident he didn't know. I said, "Did you know that Solomon fell away?" So I took out my phone where I've got a Bible program, opened up 1 Kings 11. We started in verse 1. We read down through. And I said, "So you talked about wisdom." I said, "Wisdom is only good if it's applied, if it's used." I said, "Solomon, on the other hand, he wrote Ecclesiastes 1:18, and much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow." And when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is going through an internal battle where he's trying to figure out the reason of things, and he keeps saying over and over and over again that everything is vanity. It's all vain. Everything is vain. I said, because he saw the world as it is. Physical life is just a repetitive vanity. That got him depressed. He looked for happiness, and he looked for it in all the wrong places. 1 Kings 11 that we read, he looked for it in over 1,000 women. And that all that got was those women took away his heart. And we had a Bible discussion that I wasn't even attempting to generate. Now, you might say, but you're an evangelist. That comes natural for you. Listen, maybe you couldn't have that same discussion, but you could have said something like, yeah, you know, Solomon had wisdom, but he had problems too. You know, that's an interesting Bible study. We talk about things like that where we assemble. Or, you know, the preacher that helps me with the scriptures, he pointed out some things about Solomon. I didn't know. Let me give you his card. Let me give you his number. Let me text you his phone number. That's it. That's all you have to do. Give them the opportunity to hear the words. But then let's come back to this question. Would you be ashamed to do that? Would you be ashamed to share something with somebody, either a direct answer or a way for them to get a direct answer? And think about what that translates into. In Mark 8:38, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." To take that a step further, as it comes to confessing him, in Matthew 10:32-33, contextually to his disciples, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Luke's account, Luke 12:8-9, "I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men," excuse me, "shall be denied before the angels of God." Think about that. If I'm ashamed, maybe it's because ridicule or persecution or whatever. What's that going to mean in the judgment day? What if it is shame because I don't want to get it? I don't want to hear it. 2 Timothy 2:12, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us." Yeah. The brethren that I assemble with, we've had this discussion on various occasions, and people have asked for counsel. What do I do if a discussion comes up at work? Well, look, the workplace is not a place for a Bible study. One of my favorite bits of advice that I like to give that I employed back in the mid-1990s when I was in a workplace outside of preaching the gospel and would get into spiritual discussions is just this. This isn't the time and place. What about when we clock out, we sit down and have Bible study? See, while you're at work, people might talk to you about it just because they want to argue with you. Or while you're getting your hair cut, somebody might want to argue with you. I know a brother in Christ that he has a barber that would love to argue with him. But do this. If you want to know if they're truly interested in the gospel or if they just want to have a discussion because they're stuck where they are for the moment, see if they'll devote time. See if they'll devote time. And again, if not with you, with somebody capable of teaching. See if they'll devote time. You know, if my brethren here know that they could always use me. Some of them have done it. Some of them have done it on numerous occasions where they've set up a Bible study and they had me come along and help and in some cases absolutely conduct that Bible study. I don't mind that at all. If you're a member of a faithful congregation, your evangelist better not mind that at all. That's his job, right? And even if it wasn't his job, it should be what he lives most for. But then again, people come back with, yeah, but I don't think that way. I'm not an evangelist. Listen, even in the first century, I'm going to bring up a scripture that's from a context talking about spiritual gifts. In this context, Ephesians 4:11 says, "Some gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Even in the first century, there were different offices that the Holy Spirit was involved in helping people fill. I'm not trying to say everybody's an evangelist. Everybody's not an evangelist. But if you can communicate in any way, liking on a social media app, sharing a link, whatever it is, whatever, many examples I've already given in this podcast, Whatever your ability is, 1 Peter 4:11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the words of God. If any man minister, if any man is a servant, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. So you need to search within yourself, say, what am I capable of? And then that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Do what you're capable of doing, but be honest about what you're capable of doing. Even in the most simplest ways, like you look at some of the Psalms. In Psalm 49 and 10, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed that loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. This under the old law, where they didn't have near the hope we have now in Christ. In Psalm 71, 15 through 16, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. When you look in the New Testament, Christians, when the Lord's body first began to exist in Acts 2, in verse 46 and 47, they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having people favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, think about that. Praising God. Just by praising God. I'm not talking about being one of those people that virtue signals, praise God, et cetera, or says things at the most inopportune time. And I'm not telling you to go out and do your works to be seen of men. You can go read Matthew 6, 1 through 7. You don't want to pray or do other things to be seen of men. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about being a bullhorn. We're not talking about going out and making some kind of public spectacle. We're talking about what you're capable of doing. In 1 Peter chapter 2, let me turn in my Bible here real quick. I want to read to you verses 1 through 12 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders allowed, the same is made head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. Did you hear that? A peculiar people that should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10. Which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Can you be that example? Can you be the one that shows the glorious light of Christ to others? We don't want to use the excuses. You know, well, brother, people don't want to hear it. Listen, that's never changed. Jesus taught few are going to be saved, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Luke 13, 23 and 24. I mean, probably the worst time recorded on the subject matter of quote-unquote evangelism or preaching any kind of message of God would be the days of Noah, right? 8 souls saved by water, 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. Now, who was that? Noah and his wife, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives. One family. That's it. That doesn't mean we don't share it. We don't tell it. And we don't give people the opportunity for it. Just like that great contractor, that great movie, that You don't care whether or not people are going to listen, watch, or go to. Now, with the gospel, you ought to care. That's one difference. But you've given people information. What they do with it is up to them. If I were to be discouraged about few people, I'd have stopped doing this podcast. I don't think there are that many people that have subscribed. I don't get all the numbers. I've got it on so many platforms. I don't get all the numbers from that. I know the last time I looked on Podbean, which is the hosting service that I use for the podcast, there was like 1,200 and some downloads. That's not very many, because I know some of my brethren here in El Paso listen to it, and that's total numbers from Podbean. I don't know what that all includes. But even if it were 10, I've got a couple of brethren here, a brother up in Pennsylvania, a few others talk to me about the podcast and what they've heard. Even if it was just for them, just for their edification, I keep doing this. I keep doing it. It's going to help somebody be saved. I'm going to keep doing it. Why don't you have that same zeal and desire? I'm not telling you to do a podcast or anything else, but just to share, just to give people an opportunity, just to tell them where you assemble, those types of things. Yeah, but, you know, I get all tongue twisted and so forth when it comes to talking to people about the gospel. Now listen, even in times of persecution, every Christian has to be ready to give an answer of the hope that's within us. In 1 Peter 3:14 through 16 says, "But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conduct in Christ." So a reason statement is what that means. Something that shows logic behind it. Even if it's just as simple as somebody saying, if you're going to profess Christ, you're going to lose your job. And your response being, I would rather lose everything in the world than my salvation. You don't have to remember the scriptures to put with that. You gave a reasoned answer. So with that in mind, isn't it simple just to answer some statements about Jesus as, well, he's my Savior. The Bible contains all the information. I can give you somebody that has a lot better skill at teaching than I do. Be humble enough to admit that. Or if you are capable, then use that capability when the opportunity arises. I mean, it's not that difficult. I think people make it a lot more difficult. And part of that is because maybe you've heard sermons like I have in the past, where if somebody asks you to tell them what you need to do to be saved, you need to be able to outline these scriptures and these scriptures and these scriptures. No, you don't. Just be able to give a reasoned answer. Be able to put them in the right direction. In addition to that, I want you to remember that teaching is not always verbal. How many people that you know, your neighbors, your coworkers, how many of them know you're a Christian? Even if you've not verbally expressed it, if they've known you over time, they should be able to see it in your life. You know, maybe they've seen that you don't drink alcohol. Maybe they've offered you things that you've refused. Maybe you talk in a certain way that stands out. Maybe when they're going on and on using certain language, you don't respond in like. In Titus 2:7-8, it says, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine shown uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he's of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Are you living it? Now think about what was written here in 1 Peter chapter 3. You got a Christian woman married to a non-Christian man, and he doesn't want to hear the gospel. Notice this. 1 Peter 3:1-4, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation," that is, by the conduct of the wives, "while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price." Here's a woman that can win her husband without words.
By conduct.
By showing godliness. Can you do that? Can you live blamelessly in the world? In Philippians 2, 14 through 16, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, not labored in vain. Opportunities present themselves from time to time for you to show yourself a light in the world. Mentioned that we're having some roofing issues. So we've talked to some real estate agents and investors, and there are some things that are wrong with my house, and I declared them on the front side. And one of the real estate agents says, well, sometimes the inspectors don't see everything that's wrong with your house. And I said, no. I said, I am not going to sell my house to somebody without them being absolutely and completely aware of what investments they're going to have to make. And in addition, that I've tried some of those repairs and they haven't gone so well. I'm going to tell them that. Well, the real estate agent wants to discourage that. I never told her I'm an evangelist. I never told her I'm a Christian, but I showed her honesty. And then I just made a simple statement. I said, I would rather have my house fall around me, not being able to sell it, than to stand the judgment day before Jesus Christ and have to give an answer for defrauding somebody. I didn't give book, chapter, and verse. I just spoke the truth as my Lord would have me do it. I was aware of who I was talking to. Yeah, you got to be aware of who you're talking to, right? You're sitting in a certain situation. There are some people that are just going to want you to talk about the gospel so that they can argue with you. Maybe an employee that wants your job, and they're going to ask you a question like, what do you think about homosexuality? Maybe there's a workplace rule where against discrimination where people have a desire to trip you up. Colossians 4, 5, and 6 says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Very simple answers in those situations are, you know what? This isn't the time or place to talk about that. If you'd like to talk about it, I know an evangelist. I'll give you his number. Now, you can give anybody my number, and I will tell them what the Bible teaches about homosexuality. Okay? Not that hard. Remember, you can show light just by the walk that you walk. The Ephesians were told in Ephesians 5, 8, you're sometimes in darkness, but now you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Very simply put, behave like you're God's people. And if we are fruitful people, we can glorify God through our conduct before men. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, you're the light of the world. City that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Give light unto them that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There it is. Just be a light. Be a beacon. Be something, you know, people can be guided by. Now, I've got a better than the illustrations I've given. I want to turn your attention before we wrap up our study today, where I'm going to look at John chapter 4. And it's going to be a little bit of a lengthier reading, but I want you to catch some points from an encounter that Jesus had. I'm going to let the text do its speaking. I thought about just using this chapter as the whole podcast. And then as I thought about it, I thought, well, I want to mention other things. So I took this approach. I'm going to start in John 4, where Jesus in verse 3 left Judea and departed again to Galilee. He must needs go through Samaria. He cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saying to him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water spring up into everlasting life. I'm going to say to them, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And she kind of missed the point, right? So Jesus said to her, Go and call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that thou saidest truly. Look, I mean, this is a masterful teaching job. I'm not as good as Jesus. Man, this is great. How many things he's already taught here? And just in a general conversation. Now, think about that. I'm telling you, I'm not as good as Jesus. Nowhere even near as good as he is in this skill of teaching. But that's not discouraging me from doing it. I'm not going to sit back and use that excuse. Well, if I would have met the Samaritan woman at the well, I'd have never thought to say what Jesus said. I know I wouldn't have. He's a master teacher. Well, in John 4:19, the woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know what? We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Well, the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. Well, the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked to the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and saith unto men, Come, see a man which told me all the things I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now I want to stop. There's a great deal of lessons from Jesus' part, but think about what the Samaritan woman did. She went just like someone might if they found something amazing and something great. Think about this. Don't we have that which is amazing and that which is great? And while she could not profess the gospel of Jesus Christ, she wanted to bring them to him. So later in this context, verse 39 beginning, John 4:39, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them and abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said to the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. Jesus himself testified, A prophet hath no honor in his own country. Look at that. Look at that account. She didn't go and preach book, chapter, and verse. She just went and draw people's attention to Jesus. And they believed because of her words enough to go and hear. But then they believed because they saw. Can't you do the same thing the Samaritan woman did, even on the most elementary of level, in some way towards those that might want to hear it again? Everything we talked about in this lesson. There are times to teach and times not to. There are times to talk to people, times and places not to. But wherein you have opportunity, don't be ashamed. If you're not doing these things, ask yourself why not. Be honest with yourself. Don't throw up the excuses. See, this isn't a conversation between me and you. I've given the scriptures for you to have the conversation with yourself, to examine yourself, to see what and why and who you are. And the simplest way to be able to take opportunities that are presented to you, I'm not telling you go out and create them. I'm not telling you to draw skill. I'm not telling you any of these things. But when you're having those conversations like that at the well, that's an opportunity. And the simplest way, you can share something, an invitation at the very least, and some situations. Just examine yourself. To the light of our question, if you're never doing this, even when the opportunities are right and you really could, why not? Are you ashamed? If you have some questions, my phone number is 915-525-5794. My email is brian@wordsoftruth.net. Website, www.wordsoftruth.net. I'd love to study with you. You and others. Maybe you're part of a religious body, and maybe you've heard some things and you've thought, you know, this is different than what I'm typically accustomed to hearing. I will not debate the teacher that you have, that you're working with or anything else. But if you want to call me with him on the line, I will point out the scriptures and whatever subject you'd like to talk, and then you could take it or leave it. He could take it or leave it. I won't debate. You can go back and listen to a whole podcast I did just recently on that. Won't get caught up in an endless discussion, scripture v. scripture. But just like this podcast, we can, through the simplicity of the truth, know the right ways. And then it's up to you and anyone else to choose whether or not they'll follow them. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you'll continue to tune in. I hope you'll benefit from these studies. I hope this question posed some things. If you're not a Christian and you listen to this podcast and you're thinking about applications to you, well, here it is. If you're not a Christian, why not? Thank you for listening. Till next time.